without taking any further ado, because God has things on his agenda, amen. Why don't you turn with me in the book of 1 Chronicles, chapter 29, and verse 1. God has somewhere he wants to take you today, church. I have a guarantee on that. Hallelujah. I'm just ready to let go of the wheel and let him do it. Amen. The Bible writes about this, about David the king, coming to the end of his ministry. In fact, passing on his legacy to his son. Verse 1 records this, that furthermore David the king said unto all the congregation, Solomon my son, whom alone God hath chosen, is yet young and tender, and the work is great. Anyone agree with that? The work is great. For the palace, my God, what we build is not for man, but for the Lord God. And David goes on in this chapter to explain, and look at your Bibles, all the materials that he has put together so that when his son is ready, he'll have everything in hand to build for the Lord. And we're going to jump to verse 5. As he comes to the end of the things that he has collected for his son, he says, the gold for things of gold, and the silver for things of silver, and for all manner of work to be made by the hands of the artificers. And then a question. Who then is willing to consecrate his service this day to the Lord? Jesus, I pray, Lord God, that your spirit would go with your word today. Lord, let every heart receive your word. You're leading and guiding this church. We stand in a special place, Lord God, under heaven. I pray in Jesus' name, move us beyond inspiration, Lord. Help us to step into purpose. In the name of every name, change me from this day. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. I thank you for all the time you spent standing. I thank you for all the time you spent standing. No sacrifice is overlooked in the kingdom of God. All the time you spent worshiping, amen. Giving your all. I want to preach today from this title, Fill the Closet. Fill the Closet. That sound all right with everybody? Now let's see if you all agree. And it's so funny that my grandma and Uncle Adam are here, because this is so pertinent to what we've endured together. That home improvement projects can last what seems like forever. I started a project their house, and my word, it's lasted me through multiple jobs, and it's about 90%, and working. Who knows when 10% will get there, but we're trying, right? Maybe Olivia will finish when she's ready. Home improvement projects can seem to take forever. Anyone have a home improvement project at your house that seems like it might not get done before Jesus comes back? Maybe? Drywall, paint, trim. Wives are saying, why is he acting like there's one project? A drippy faucet. Even in biblical times, though, this was the case. You know how long Solomon's temple took to get built? 20 years. 20 years to build this thing. Pastor, you build a bridge or two in your time, haven't you? At least help. You ever have a bridge that takes 20 years? That's a pretty long time. When you're in a long project, it can feel like it takes forever. And it is hard to keep showing up day in and day out. Anyone know what I'm saying? Day in and day out, seeing the same tools, having the same mess, having the same mistakes, having the same, oh, I got a little progress, up two steps back, little progress. It's hard to show up at the same job day in and day out, showing up and giving your best effort. But the truth is, that's the only way anything ever gets done. How long would those projects take, Pastor? If one day a week, they felt motivated, and a couple days a week, I'm not really feeling, I don't know if I'm going to show up today. Maybe Thursday, I'll try half-hearted. But every day, it takes showing up and giving it your best. You see, when you stop showing up, and when you stop putting in your best effort, things get frozen in time. Am I right? Things start falling apart when you stop showing up and giving your best effort. That drywall that you never fix, that leak that you never fix. I got a leaky faucet up in my bathroom. I'm like, oh, Lord, why? Don't want to open that thing. That's probably been there since Nebuchadnezzar. I don't want to do it. But when you don't show up and when you don't put in your best effort, things start falling apart. Things start shaking and swaying where they're meant to be unmovable, steadfast. When we don't keep showing up day in, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, when we stop showing up and giving it our best, things just start falling apart and shaking and moving. Amen. And that might just be in your house. And we might just think, oh, it's just in my house. But every time you leave this place, you go home and you see it. And maybe you start to forget about it. But when you wake up, you see it again. Right? You see it because it doesn't go away until you take care of it. Right. Your family sees it. Right. You see it. When you're at work, sometimes you think about it. It weighs on you somewhere in your mind. And maybe nobody else may see it, but you do. You see, Solomon was so blessed to have a daddy like David. Wasn't he? That's a pretty good dad. He made some mistakes, but David was a pretty good daddy-o. The cool thing about David was that he fought battles so that his son wouldn't have to. That's a privilege of parenthood. Amen? That is absolutely. Because, you know, you think about it, in the world, carnally, secularly, people think about that. I want to get a really good job. I want to make a lot of money so that my kids are set. Right? That's a pretty common thing. I'm going to sacrifice. I'm going to grind. I'm going to start a business. I'm going to, put in my education. I'm going to put in the hours at work so that my kids can go to school so that my kids don't have to struggle like I did. But here in the people of God, we have the same opportunity, but greater so in the spiritual. Because there are bondages. There are strongholds that we get to defeat as parents. Like Pastor talked about, and we've experienced in this house of alcoholism, of drug abuse, of addiction, of abuse, bondage, of mindsets of bitterness, unforgiveness that have been passed down from generation to generation to generation. But as parents, we have an opportunity to break it and say, my son isn't going to go through that. Amen. Daddy didn't just fight battles for Solomon, but he put together materials so that his son could build something he never did and never was able to. And that was the temple. David put together the gold. David put together the silver. He put together all the materials so that when Solomon was ready, he could start building for God. But we looked and we saw in verse 5 that there was one thing that David couldn't buy. There was one thing that David couldn't fight for. And that was someone to consecrate themselves to the Lord. You couldn't buy that. You couldn't put a price on that. And that's the one thing that God is looking for in this church today. He's looking for a people to consecrate themselves to the Lord, to give themselves fully dedicated to this thing, Monday through Saturday, outside of church, to give themselves wholeheartedly to the service of the Lord. Anybody believe that with me, or are we waiting for somebody else to get with it? Amen. We need a church to consecrate themselves and say, God, I'm going to give everything I got when nobody is looking. Because I agree wholeheartedly that revival is here. Amen. We believe it. We preach it. We know it. Revival is here. New life is here. The harvest is now. But you know what the question is? How long will it last? How long will revival last at Church of Pentecost Brunswick? How will we feel a month from now when we experience and think, oh man, it's just not the same as when we were on fire for God? How long will it last? And more importantly, what will we do with it? Because here I'm here to tell you, revival is awesome. Revival is powerful. Revival is necessary. But you know what? That's what God does. That's not me. I don't just make revival. Boom. Just start moving the Spirit. Let the Spirit just roll out. Let souls start coming. All that good. Start opening doors. Yep, right there. Mark doesn't provide the increase. Pastor doesn't provide the increase. It's only God. Revival is what God has given us. Consecration is what we give to God. Consecration is the only way that revival stays at Church of Pentecost, Brunswick. It's the only way. Consecration is the only way we reach in the harvest and see this place filled with souls and discipling people, not just having guests, but having growth. Amen? God is looking for a people consecrating themselves. Consecration is a word hardly heard and rarely used. We hear it at youth bonfires sometimes as we throw things in the fire. We hear it maybe once a year, twice a year. Talk about, you know, putting away the bad stuff, putting away sin, giving ourselves to God. What does consecration mean? It means to separate for a purpose. It means to literally take something, take it away from all the other stuff that might look the same, right? Think about God when he chose, you know, the Levites, when he took them out from the other brethren. They didn't probably have a different color of hair. They probably weren't of some different stature of height or looks, but there was something about them, and God took them out and consecrated them for a purpose. To consecrate something means to take it, and from here on out, it is meant for a purpose. It will live for a purpose day in and day out, every day of the week. So the question is, where is God looking for a consecrated people? And he explains this in Matthew 6 and verse 6. I want to show you, church, because there's no way around it, and it's not an obstacle to be gotten around. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, do what? Pray to thy Father which is in secret. And thy Father that seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. God is looking for Church of Pentecost, Brunswick, in a secret place. He's looking for you personally, not just a minister, not just somebody who's been here for 60 years, not just somebody who's been here for 3 months. He's looking for the church. If you call yourself the church, if you've been blood bought in Jesus' name, filled with his Spirit, your life turned around forever, God is looking for you in a secret place to seek him, because he wants to continue the relationship beyond birth. He wants to continue the relationship beyond Sunday. He wants to know you tomorrow and the day after. Thank you, You see, but the problem is sometimes that I think sometimes we try to make our lives as efficient as possible. What do I mean by efficient as possible? We do this at work. You spend the least amount of time on each task to get acceptable results. Because I got more stuff to do and more stuff to do and more stuff to do. So I want to spend the least amount of time on each thing so I can get everything done. Could you imagine if I treated conversation with my wife that way? Woo! We all know prayer is conversation with God. Could you imagine if I treat our relationship, all right, baby, my goal is to talk to you the least amount I can today. That would be awesome. We could get everything done if I talked to you as little as I possibly could. And if when I did, I made sure it was short and to the point and all about facts and answers. I'll text you when I have a problem. I'll ask you if I have an issue. But I don't really want to spend time. I don't think we'd be celebrating our 5-year anniversary here coming up in about a month. Anybody with me? Prayer is, conversation with my wife is not an obstacle to be gotten around. It's not something to try to minimize in my life. It's not something that I have to dread. You know, because I married her for a reason. You know how our relationship really started? Long talks on the phone. Probably longer than it should have been. We would talk. You remember? 3, 4, 5 hours. Oh, my word. How do you talk for 3, 4, 5 hours on the phone? I don't know. Not like we just met each other. We grew up together. Oh, my goodness. But there was something special when we started our relationship where we wanted to just talk. And that's a place where God is drawing his church. Amen. Because he talks about in the Word not be caught, getting all caught up in miracles, signs, and wonders. But he is looking for somebody. He says, I want to know you. I want to know you. 20 years in this thing. 30 years in this thing. Till death do us part. And then we're together like we never have been before. I want to know you, church. Because I want to draw you closer. I want to show you things. And I want to tell you things you ain't never heard. There is something rich waiting for you in the closet. God has been leading this church. And you've been here service in and service out to clean out our closet. We've been getting rid of a lot of idols. We've been getting rid of a lot of sins, or I hope so, with all the messages and all the word that we've heard. We've been getting rid of a lot of distractions. We've been getting rid of a lot of stuff that hinders us. As Hebrews talks about every sin and the weight that does so easily beset you. We've been cleaning out our closets, and that is such a good thing. But cleaning alone is not enough. Cleaning alone is not enough in our walk with God. Because God, hear me now, God has never willed for us to have an empty closet. An empty closet is not the will of God. Because according to Jesus, when the demons leave and the house remains empty, it's not a good thing. The Bible says that more demons came than who occupied it in the first place, because they found it swept and garnished. They went and they walked in dry and arid places. And they said, you know what? We might have been cleaned out of that closet before, but they didn't fill it with anything. We might have been cast out of there before. Let's see if the vacancy sign is still up. And when they come back, they find out, you know what? They've been cleaning so much, we got more room in here to party than ever before. Amen. God has been calling us to empty our closet, but now it's time to fill the closet as we find our secret place on Monday morning or Tuesday morning and Wednesday morning and say, God, I've cleaned out this place in my life. Jesus, I need you, Lord God, to bring fire to my family. I need you, Lord God, to win my neighbors. I need you, Lord God, to bring victory in my workplace, God. Amen. It's time to fill the closet, church. It's time to find your daily place. Because repenting and cleaning out are not enough. God is calling you to seek Him in your secret, to seek Him daily in your secret place. Amen? I'm talking about daily. Daily. We can make it so spiritual, like, when the Spirit leads, I pray. When the Spirit leads. You know what? Brother Darren, you ever wake up in the morning and it was just the Spirit that led you to a sacrificial prayer in the morning? I don't feel it. I don't feel it. I drag my feet. Sometimes I gotta like take this leg and kind of drag it over. And I'm moaning and I'm groaning. I'm grunting. I'm not happy waking up in the morning to seek God. And I'm here to tell you, I don't have it perfected. I told the kids earlier, I am convicted by this word because I don't have it perfected. But you know what? I decided if I'm going to get it ever figured out in my life, why not today? If I won't do it, if I haven't done it yesterday, I guarantee you I won't do it tomorrow. I got to do it today. Come on. God has put a desire in your heart to seek Him daily in prayer like you never have. Amen? It's time to put away the excuses.
Yes, it is.
It's time to start seeking His face in prayer like we feel that pull of the Holy Ghost to do. Come on, you felt that pull to seek Him daily and sacrificially in prayer, because 5 minute shallow prayers, when you remember to do it, are not enough to take you into this last day. The Bible talks about there being a great sweeping away of the church in the end times because they receive not a love for the truth. I'm telling you, you want to receive a love for the truth, start seeking Him daily in prayer. Start spending time with the one who saved you. Start spending time beyond Sundays and Thursdays. Come on, if you want to love the truth, come on. You can feel it when that love starts to wane. How in the world do you get that love back as you start spending time again? You might never have started this before in your life, but if God has given you today, He's given you an opportunity to seek Him in prayer like never before. The Bible is filled with people who gave time to seek after God. And they had a closeness with Him. I think of Anna in the beginning of Luke. Anna, she only occupies a couple verses. But the Bible says she was 84 years old. She'd only been with the husband for 7 years. And after she died, she gave herself to fasting and prayers in the temple daily. Daily seeking after God. And because she sought after God, she was called a prophetess. And she sought after God, and she sought after God, and she sought after God until He became her one desire. And one day she lifted her eyes and she got to see Messiah brought through those doors. Amen. I don't know about you, but I want Jesus to come through the doors of my house. I want Jesus to come through the doors of my heart because sometimes I kick Him out. I want Jesus to come through the doors of this church. Amen. I want Jesus to come into my workplace. I want Jesus to come into every inch and every ounce of my being. So I need to seek Him. Come on, you got to seek Him. There is nothing that will substitute a life of prayer. There is nothing that will take its place. Because we'll all get up early for some reason. Think about it. A doctor's appointment. If you need to have it. We'll all get up early for work. If we had to do it. I'm not saying you love to do it. I'm not saying it like, it's just woo. Sometimes we get up for coffee, but we get up for work. We'll all get up for travel in the morning if we had to. We'll all get up. We'll all take special time away for a special event, for our family, for our friends, if we had to be there. Why won't we for God? Why wouldn't we for God? The most special event. The most special event that could ever fill our schedule. The most exciting, the most life-giving thing. It will always be about prayer, and it will end that way. We need prayer like never before. We need it. We need it. And I agree with Brother Arnold, who's saying that inspiration is a pretty cheap form of drug. Amen. Inspiration won't last on Monday or Tuesday or Wednesday. We got to find our purpose of prayer. Let's say, it's not about being inspired at 6 o'clock in the morning or 5 o'clock in the morning. I have a purpose to get a hold of the Master. I need Him, and it's not about feeling it. I just need Him. Amen. Some of us get to a point where we recognize we need to eat breakfast or we're not going to make it through the day. I'm starting to get to that point as far as work goes, where I do got to eat in the morning, even if I have to force myself to do it. Because sometimes that hunger is not there, but the need is there. Amen. You need it to make it through the day. The greatest thing that Noah ever built was not an ark. The greatest thing that Noah ever put together was not wood on top of wood, but the greatest thing that Noah ever built was a walk with God before a word with God was ever written. His babies saw him worship God. His wife saw him worship God. His family saw him walk with God. But most importantly, God saw him walk with him. It's going to take changing your life beyond this service. We have to move past inspiration and let your life be guided by purpose. Any life that is guided by inspiration goes like this. That's something I struggle with as a young person. I'm telling you what, I'd watch a movie and I'd be inspired. I watch that movie with Nick Cage and he stole the Constitution. I was like, man, I'm going to be an archaeologist. Inspiration will take you up here, down there. But when you have a purpose, it's day in and day out that, you know what? My purpose is to walk with God. My purpose is to get a hold of God for my soul, for my family, for my church, for my community. I've got a purpose that's bigger than me and bigger than how I feel. And yes, it's going to take sacrifice. There is no getting around it. Walking with God, having a prayer life, being consecrated will take sacrifice. It's going to take saying no to yourself at nighttime so you can wake up in the morning time. It's going to take discipline, but it's so worth it. It's so worth it to get a hold of Him every day. Because a lot of times we walk around looking for purpose. Anyone ever been there where you're like, God, what in the world is my purpose? Like, I know maybe generally, you know, I know I'm supposed to win the loss, but what's my purpose? Well, I'm telling you, stop looking around. Stop looking around. We got to look down. Your purpose is not around. You got to start digging. You got to start going deeper. And if we want to go deeper, we got to start digging for God. Your purpose is to find Him and to dig out a personal relationship with Him. Not to rely on any minister, not to rely on any Sunday, but to say, Jesus, I got the truth just the same as anybody else. And I'm going to seek you out. I want to know you. There is no reason you can't move in my family. There's no reason you can't use me to win a soul. There's no reason I can't overcome this mental problem, or this addiction, or this issue, or this unforgiveness. God, I can do it, God. Help me, Lord God, to find you. Amen. If we want to go deeper, I believe this church wants to go deeper, we have to start digging. And you know what? Digging is hard work. I hate digging. I hate digging. I'm not joking. Physically, I hate digging. It's like my least favorite thing. I hate digging with a shovel. Oh, it's so hard. You hit this hard rock, and it's like, and you know, I got like 45 pounds. I'm trying to, and everyone else is like, Mark, you just go, you know. Pastor comes over here, he's like, and I'm over here like, I can't get through it. I hate digging. Moving earth is the worst. Digging is hard work. But I'm telling you that in the Old Testament, in the desert, digging was the only way to find water. Turn with me to Genesis chapter 21 and verse 29. We'll read about Abraham. He gave some lambs to Abimelech and made a covenant. You see, Abimelech said unto Abraham, "What mean these seven ewe lambs which thou hast set by themselves?" And he said, "For these seven ewe lambs shalt thou take of my hand, that they may be a witness unto me." What? This is Abraham talking. "That I have digged this well." Wherefore he called that place Beersheba, because there they swear both of them. Abraham did three things. He dug a well. He made a covenant with Abimelech. And he called the name of that place Beersheba. It was called the Well of the Oath, dug by Abraham. And this is why it's so interesting, church. If you wanna, and you got some money, you can go see this well for yourself. The well is still there, over there in the Holy Land. This well would be used for generations because Abraham decided to dig. This well will go on beyond Abraham's death. It would bless the thirsty. Families would come to this well, and it would become a thriving city. Remember, they called it Beersheba. This became a city, a thriving city that's still a city today. But hear me, church, most importantly, this well in Beersheba became a place where God would speak to Abraham's son and Abraham's grandson. Beersheba was a place where Abraham dug a well. Isaac heard from the Lord, and Jacob heard from the Lord. So yes, I'm here to tell you that digging a secret prayer life before God will be a sacrifice. But you are building a place where your children are going to hear from God. You are building a place where your grandchildren can hear from God, because daddy or granddaddy, grandma, mommy decided, "I'm going to start praying. I'm going to start seeking the Lord our God, because he's been great. Amen. He's been good, and I want to know him better." Your personal, secret, daily time of prayer will bring life to your soul, to your marriage, and to your family. It will impact generations to follow. You will defeat giants in your prayer life that your kids don't have to, that your neighbors don't have to, that this church can overcome if you will get on your knees and seek him in prayer. God is looking for someone to take the commitment to pray, to pray, to pray. Amen. To seek his face, not for an answer, but for his presence and his will. In Matthew, Jesus said that when we pray in secret, God will reward us openly. And we can kind of throw that away thinking, "Oh, how selfish. I don't want to be rewarded openly. Oh, rewarded openly? Shh, I'm too humble for that." But look at what verse 10 says. What is the first thing that Jesus says to pray about in the Lord's Prayer? "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven." Jesus is telling us, if you will seek me first, if you will seek me in your prayer closet, my kingdom will come. My will be done in earth as it is in heaven openly. Amen. There are souls that we've been working with. There are family members that we've been fighting with. There are things that we've been struggling with. And his promise is, if you will seek him in secret, he will reward you openly. He will let his will be unleashed in your life. Yes, it's his will for you to be free. It's his will for you to have joy and peace. But more importantly, it's his will for him to fill his kingdom with the lost. It's his will for him to make disciples of your classmates, of your work friends, of people on the streets and in the grocery store. So the question is, who will find him in the secret place, amen, to build his kingdom? When we pray in secret for his kingdom, we will see it fulfilled here openly. In this church, openly. Does anybody want to see this church filled openly? We must seek him. We'll see souls saved and disciples, bondage broken and families made whole, and disease departing. And as we close, I want to come back a full circle. We've got to make our purpose to get into the closet. God is looking for a church in the closet. I'm not saying in the altar call, but I invite you to come. But I am saying he's looking for you in the closet. Amen. Pray that God would help you have a purpose to pray and to seek his face. Jesus. 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 The gold for things of gold. And the silver for things of silver. And for all manner of work to be made by the hands of the artificers. And who then is willing to consecrate his service this day to the Lord? Who is willing to consecrate themselves to a life of daily, consistent, passionate prayer? Move us beyond inspiration, God. Us to a place of purpose. I live my life to seek your face. I live my life to get a hold of Jesus. I need you, my family needs you. My family, my co-workers need you, Jesus. I need to spend time with you. I'm not going to put it off any longer. But tomorrow, let it be different than today. Tomorrow, let it be different than yesterday, Jesus. I don't want to live by my flesh.
somebody. Amen. This is a message we got to get a hold of. Hallelujah. Come on, this is not something you just take lightly. This is a word from the Lord. He's calling you to deeper place in Him. Amen. Hallelujah. Come on, reach over and touch somebody and pray for him right now. Have it turn around, go to somebody. Minister right now in the Holy Ghost. I need you, Jesus. I need you, Jesus. God, help me to sacrifice for the lost. God, help me to sacrifice for the hurting. Hallelujah. Help me to reach out. Help me to call upon your name, God, for my neighbors and my family members, Lord. Help me to find that secret place, Lord God. Hallelujah. Help me to dig some wells in my life, God. Oh, that my family's going to remember. That my family can come to for sustenance. Hallelujah. That my family can come to for life, Lord. God, I need you today. I need you today, Jesus. I need you in this place today, Jesus. I need your glory in this place, my rock. My salvation. My deliverer. Help me, God. Help me that I can walk with you, Jesus. Help me that I can hear your voice, God. Oh, there's no place I'd rather be. Oh, falling in love with Jesus. Falling in love with Jesus. Falling in love with Jesus is the best thing I've ever done. Hallelujah. Falling in love. Come on, that's the best thing in your life you'll ever experience. When you give your life to Jesus, when you trust Him, when you go to somebody else right now, go to somebody else. There's needs in this place. Church, have your way, Lord. Step out in faith and talk to somebody. Hallelujah. Oh. Praise God. What a mighty, powerful service today. Amen. That word is powerful. Amen. If you could put that to practice in your life, you're going to see some changes in your world. Amen. Amen. Dig a well. Amen. Hallelujah. There's been some birthdays this week and past week. Did you have a birthday? There's one there. I think you had a birthday. Coming up, Brother Bill had one. Sister Shannon. They're all hiding out on us. A happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. May God bless you. May God bless you. May God bless you. May God bless you. Give him a hand today. Pray for Brother Bill. Amen. It's been 6 months since he's been in the house of the Lord. There's a reason for that. It's because he can't get here.